help us to commence with hymn 307. And must it, Lord, be so? And must thy children bear such various kinds of woe, such soul-perplexing fear? Are these the blessings we expect? Is this the lot of God's elect? 307.
We'll read together from the Epistle of Paul to the Philippians, reading chapters 3 and 4. Paul's Epistle to the Philippians, reading chapters 3 and 4. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. We are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh. If any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gain to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Nay, doubtless, and I count all things but loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. My brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an ensample. Many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech you, Odius, and I beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true young fellow, help those women which laboured with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow labourers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have done well that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now, ye Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which are sent from you, an odour of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now to God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Dear Lord, we come to thee. Our needs are great. But Lord, thou art able to supply our every need out of thy riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We pray this night. We enter into thy courts and are favoured to gather together once again. That thou wouldst fill our earthen vessel. Lead us by thy Spirit into the truth, as the truth is in Jesus. O may hearts be searched as to what they know of thee, as to what thou hast done for them, that they may be brought to an exercise of heart and soul. How stands the case, my soul with thee, for heaven thy credentials sure, is Jesus Christ thy only plea? Is he thy great forerunner there? And Lord, thou art a sovereign God, and thou dost reveal thyself in the hearts of thy dear people. And thou dost teach. Thou dost bring down. Thou dost humble. And thou dost lift up. And the work is thine. And we pray this night, in this congregation, Lord, of immortal souls, we must all stand before the judgment bar of Christ to give an account of the deeds done in the body. O Lord, may we have a humble hope that thou didst die for us, that thy precious blood on Calvary's cross was shed for us. May we have a humble hope that thou hast loved us with an everlasting love and with loving kindness hast thou drawn us. We pray, Lord, that thy word may be made suitable. We know not the cases that lie before us, nor the exercises of heart and soul, concerns or the absence of them. But Lord, thou knowest. We seek divine direction as we attempt to preach thy holy word once again. That thou wouldst lead us into all truth. And Lord, that thou wouldst bless. Thou hast promised, as thou didst to thy dear servant Abraham, in blessing I will bless thee. And Lord, we need that word again and again in life's pathway. We need it to come just where we are. Oh, we need that increase of faith. We need that gift of God. We need grace to being able to trust in thee, to put our hand into the hand of God and go out into the dark. The future is wisely hidden from us. And Lord, we pray for daily grace and daily strength, that we may be enabled to run our race with patience, looking unto Jesus, its author and its finisher. Lord, we're carnal. Thou knowest it. We have a fallen nature. We're constantly overmuch taken up with things of time and sense. But, O gracious God, in thy rich mercy, we come into thy house, thy earthly courts, once again this night. We pray that thou wouldst deliver us from those carnal thoughts, this carnal world, our carnal self, and bring us to thy mercy seat. For thou hast said, come ye apart, and rest a while. And thou knowest those, Lord, who are burdened by sin, carnality, coldness, lukewarmness, deadness, hardness of heart, and along to know thee and the life of God in their soul. Long to know a little of the softening influence of thy Spirit. Long to know the sweetness of the truth in their hearts. Long to know the efficacy of thy atoning blood. Longing to feel thy arms of love and mercy underneath. Long for a fresh token in their hearts. They've come into the house of God this evening in hunger and in thirst, desiring a word from the Lord, seeking a blessing. Lord, in blessing, thy will bless thee. Thy work is a continuous work in the hearts of thy dear children. Thou dost lead them by that right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. But it is through much exercise of soul, many wanderings, much rebellion, much foolishness, many storms. So you read in the 107th Psalm, and yet, gracious God, thus he bringeth them to their desired haven. And Lord, we are fools. We need thy wisdom. We need thy grace. We need grace to keep our eyes on Jesus fixed. Oh, how we look downward. Many are our fears and temptations, much tossing to and fro. But oh, to keep our eyes on Jesus fixed. To be kept, Lord, from the temptations of a tempting adversary, our own unbelieving heart, that sin which does so easily beset us, and to anchor in thyself, which hope, says thy word, we have as an anchor of the soul. And Lord, we look back over the way. Thou shalt remember all the way the Lord thy God has led thee. And Lord, it gives us hope. It gives us hope to look and look and look again. To come to thee to find that peace of God which passeth all understanding. To plead with thee to visit our souls. To draw near to us. To commune with us. Touch our hearts by thy Holy Spirit. And Lord, to grant us sweet liberty. A good hope through grace. A rest the world knows nothing of. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. One said, oh, that I know that rest might know, believe, and enter in. Dear Lord, bring us then this night for the rest of living faith, to know that peace with God by our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for every taste of it we have known in our life. Thy presence with us. Dear Lord, we pray, thy dear people may know in their afflictions and sorrows here the sweetness of thy promise, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Lord, look down. Thy dear servant asked at that same time, show me now thy glory. Thou didst reveal it in his heart and soul, the Lord God merciful, gracious, long-suffering, plenteous in goodness and truth, forgiving iniquity, transgression and sin. It will know by no means clear the guilty. Lord, we pray that there may be a knowledge of that forgiveness in the heart, forgiving iniquity, transgression and sin. Come, Lord, and establish thy work in our soul. Oh, may we be made ready. Time is short with us. Lord, make us ready to stand before thy face. Thine is a finished work. You've spoken of it this day. Thou art its Alpha and its Omega. Continue, Lord, the work thou hast begun. And, oh, fulfill thy word of promise in the church. I will work, and who shall let it? Deliver from bondage, O grant sweet liberty. Draw near, grant access at thy mercy seat. Lord, we deserve not the least of all thy mercy, but we would come unto thee this night and plead for the congregation, that, Lord, thou wouldst remember them. Remember them in this path where they walk in at the moment, with this a solemn path one has been called to walk in. We would affectionately remember him again this night and pray, Lord, for him and his loved one and his family, his little one. Gracious God, be to him all that thou hast been thus far, and more in the future. The mountains that lie before him, gracious God, we know that thou art able to carry him through. We have faced mountains in our own life, and Lord, we can look back over them and remember all the way the Lord our God led us. And Lord, we have proved it to be a truth again and again when most we need his helping hand. This friend is always near. With heaven and earth at his command, he waits to answer prayer. And Lord, we pray that the path may be sanctified. There may be profit in it. Sweet knowledge, fellowship with thee, Lord, in thy sufferings, communion with thyself. Gracious God, look down, we pray thee, in this congregation, upon the aged, rapidly drawing near their journey's end. And many we have known, gathered to thyself. But Lord, we pray that thou wouldst work in the hearts of thy dear people, whether young or old. Remember the young of the flock, Lord, we pray thee. Look down upon them. Keep them. Oh, may they be kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. And those, Lord, in the world, in their daily work, we pray thou'st give them grace to stand and having done all, to stand. O grant, gracious God, grace to walk in this world and to know the nature of the truth, what it is to be in the world, but not of it. O gather thy people together here. Move and work by thy Spirit. We read the husband hath long patience and waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. And thy work is here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept. But Lord, thou wilt perfect the work thou hast begun. We pray for that divine work, sanctification in the hearts of thy dear people, that there may be a going on to know the Lord, and that, Lord, there may be an entrance into the expression of thy dear servant regarding his experience, his knowledge of thee, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He said in another place that I might know him. Lord, we pray it may be the exercise, the living exercise of those before thee, the day may be brought to commune with thee from off thy mercy seat, being able to say with one I know, in whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Gracious Lord, look down on all in affliction, bereavement, and nourish the past. We think of those in bereavement at this moment, waiting to lay the body of a loved one to rest. Comfort the dear souls in the mysterious pathway that thou hast suddenly called them to walk in. And oh, grant, dear Lord, that there may be fruit in thy sorrows, fellowship with thee in thy sufferings. For thou wast a man of sorrow, and acquainted with grief, and we have known what it has been to feel the blessedness of thy mercy and compassion in our deepest sorrows, and to know, Lord, what it has been to have a broken heart and fellowship with a broken-hearted God. Lord, look down. Thy ways are past finding out. How thy dear church needs grace to be still in thy deep and mysterious movements for her good. And while we can't his goings trace, oh, may we know that truth, too wise to err, too good to be unkind. Look down in the Sabbath school, Lord, we pray thee. Bless thy truth in the heart of the young. May the seed be sown. Lord, may there be a gracious effect. Oh, may there be fruit. Help those who teach. And Lord, grant grace and wisdom in the teaching, that there may be, Lord, that which shall redound to thy honour and glory. We pray, gracious God, for the nation in its vast darkness. The darkness truly deepens. Great tides of sin and abomination have swept over this land. Lord, we live in a pagan heathen society. My dear church is but a tiny minority in the midst of a godless age. And Lord, we see every abomination, mocking of thy name, blasphemy, breaking of thy holy law. Dear Lord, every evil and darkness has come into the open, and Satan truly goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And Lord, we feel the hatred to the truth. Thy people and thy gospel are mocked and despised. Sin runs down our street. Thou seest the broken homes. And, Lord, the youth in great disorder. The godlessness on every hand. O gracious God, we pray for thy dear church. That they may be, thy dear people may be upheld and given grace to stand in this evil day. Look down, we pray thee, upon our rulers. We pray for the Queen, the Royal Household, the Prime Minister, his Cabinet, our Parliamentary Assembly. Lord, thy wrath and judgments are upon this land. We can feel it and realize it in so many ways. Thy hand has gone out against us as a nation. But oh, we pray, but hear the prayers of the remnant. Raise up God-fearing men in high places. Look down in thy rich mercy and have mercy upon us. My dear servant Daniel pleaded not for our sakes, and we would plead the same, but for thy great name's sake, O Lord. Remember this land once so favoured. Remember the blood of the martyrs in this land, that truth for which they died. Lord, look down upon us. Preserve to us our independence, our sovereignty as a nation. And, O gracious God, turn us again, and we shall be turned. Come on us now, Lord, this night. Lead us into thy word. Grant a door of utterance. Touch our lips with a live coal from thy heavenly altar. Fill our earthen vessel. Grant the anointing of thy Spirit. May our eyes be up unto thee. Grant grace and wisdom. And above all, Lord, grant application. May thy holy word drop as the rain and distill as the dew upon the mown grass, that there may be a growth in grace and in the knowledge of Christ Jesus our Lord, building up here in the church. Remember us as we come to thy table this night. Lord, bless us there. Grant thy presence may be known and felt. We seek now, Lord, that thou wouldst abide with us, and ask every favour and every mercy, for the pardon and forgiveness of every sin. For thy great and worthy name's sake, Lord Jesus. Amen.
In 614, the Lord the righteous tries, yet we'll adore his name. He never will their cause despise, nor put their hope to shame. 614.
Seeking the Lord's help, I direct your attention this evening to the Epistle of Paul to the Philippians, reading from verse 21 of chapter 1. Paul's Epistle to the Philippians, reading from verse 21 of chapter 1. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And I ask you tonight, what does Christ mean to you? Apostle is here speaking out of the depths of his soul to me. To my poor heart, to my great need, to my salvation, for my help, for my support, for my benefit, for my salvation, to me. Christian teaching is one thing in the head, but it is another thing in the heart. Oh, what a separation there lies there. Ask yourself this evening, what do you know of Christ? What does he mean to you? I spoke this morning at the beginning. This evening, I speak of that which follows, the continuation. Here, the apostle is speaking of the life that followed the road to Damascus, of the continued help of his God, of his continued knowledge of Christ. Often look with wonder on his words here, that I might know him. One might think that on the road to Damascus he knew him. It was only a little that he knew. He knew his power. He knew his convicting voice. He knew that effectual call. He was arrested. He speaks of it here, we've read it tonight. He was, as he says, apprehended. But whilst he was apprehended, he had something himself of Christ to apprehend. He wanted a deeper knowledge of him. He had to be brought down again and again to feel his need. He had to walk in a path of great dependence. And he wanted the Lord's presence with him. And we come now to the second word, to live. That is not our natural life. It is our spiritual life. Oh, to live spiritually. To know the life of God in our heart and soul. What have you known? When we come to look at this life of God in the hearts of his dear people, it has a beginning. We spoke of it this morning, the wind blows. The Lord plants that seed of divine grace in the soul. There is that work of the new birth. There is a change, a mighty change wrought in the hearts of his dear people. It is a work of God. It is a work of the Holy Spirit. It is the work that Jesus spoke of. He must be born again. But there is a continuation. Oh, to live. to know that power in our hearts, to commune with our God, to know his presence in our pathway, to hear his voice again and again, to be the recipient of the exceeding great and precious promises, to know his protecting care and hand over us, and to see it constantly. But oh, to live the life of God in the souls of his dear people is something they know, but they do not live in it constantly. But they long for it. They long to come into the house of God and to profit under the preaching of the gospel. They may be made sweet to their taste. Their hearts may be broken down. They may be delivered from the hardness and deadness, carnality and worldly mindedness of their souls, and hear the voice of their God speaking to them with power in their souls. They need, they long to know what it is to come to their knees in prayer and to find access at the mercy seat. Oh, the Lord gives it. There are moments in the journey when there is no cloud between our souls and our God, when we can commune with him, when we can pour out our heart before him, when we know his love in our soul, when the life of God is in our hearts, we can say we know that he heareth us, because he granteth us those things that we ask of him. But there are other moments in the pathway when we live, or when the Lord speaks into our souls one of those exceeding great and precious promises. What do you know about it? How many of those promises has he given to you? When did you give them to you? Where did he give them to you? How did he give them to you? They are given constantly for the support of his dear people. They're given in hours of great weakness, hours of great temptation, hours of great poverty of soul, hours of great conviction. The Lord draws near and speaks. There the very life of the child of God is brought down to the depths, like Jonah was in the belly of the whale. And they know what he did, to cry unto their God, him to hear them, to speak into their hearts with almighty power such promises as, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Oh, ask yourself here to live. What do you know of the life of God in the soul of a man, of a woman? What do you know of his sweet presence with you? Look back over the journey in your times of darkness and sorrow and weakness and temptation and trial. When did the Lord draw near? And you know, in the exercise of heart of God's dear children, when they are facing eternity and brought down in the depths, there to know the life of God. The scene has not altered or changed, but he's come. He has drawn near to them in their trials. And mine goes to Abraham and to Jacob. Oh, how the Lord blessed them. But they were in times of great trial. They had to wrestle with their God. Abraham taken to Mount Moriah by his God under divine direction in the great ordeal of the trial of his faith, to raise a knife over the child of promise and all the promises the Lord had given him. Oh, how deeply mysterious was that path that the Lord called Abraham to walk in. And yet, he appeared. Oh, the life of God in the soul of Abraham. Christ said of him, Abraham saw my day and was glad. Mount Moriah was a path of bitter trial. It was a path of great blessing, and so it is. I proved it. And there he saw that way of escape. The Lord stopped him as he raised the knife in obedience over Isaac. And there was the ram caught in the thicket. Oh, the blessedness of that experience. And as he left Mount Moriah, the Lord drew near. The trial of his faith. And he said to him in blessing, strange is it not? Oh, what a strange word. Was that a blessing? Yes, it was. God brings his dear people to put everything on the altar of sacrifice and leave it there in his... Why does he do it? He does it that we might be brought to truly trust in him. Though we cannot understand his goings, all his goings trace, to be brought to that blessed place, lay everything there. It was to be a great blessing. In blessing, said the Lord to his dear servant, I will bless thee. This great darkness, this great temptation, this great trial, this great affliction was a blessing in God's hands. It was to be a matter that he would ever look back to. It was that he should come there to have Christ revealed to him in his heart. For to me to live is Christ. Ah, what a strange way to come to it. What a bitter cup to come to it. But when we come to Christ formed in the heart of his dear people, let us not be surprised that it is in the furnace, in the fire, in the valley, in the darkness. Oh, how God's dear people, if they're to live, there has to be a death to everything here. I am crucified with Christ, said the apostle in his letter to the church at Rome. Nevertheless, I live. There is a crucifixion of the flesh. There is a bringing down at his mercy seat. There are cries to be brought forth from the heart. Job had to cry out, oh, that I knew where I might find him. He had to be brought down into the darkest depths. And I do say to you here tonight, look back over the way. The voice of the Apostle Paul at Antioch to the church there was this, through much tribulation. Oh, if to me to live is Christ, what does it mean? It means a path of tribulation. It means a path of sorrow. It means a path of the hand of God in our life. But it is a hand of love and mercy, deep in unfathomable minds of never failing skill. He treasures up his bright designs and works his sovereign will. And when we look at Christ's pathway here below, oh, how he humbled himself. Became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The path that he walked, his dear people, was a path of bitter sorrow. And if his dear church is to have fellowship with him, then he ordains a path in which she shall walk. He puts the cup into her hands. He has determined its contents. Blessed when we can say, he knoweth the way that I take, and when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Job knew it. He knew the pathway. He knew the trial. He knew the sorrow. But equally he knew the man of sorrow. Well did the apostle in this epistle pray that blessed prayer, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection, having fellowship with him in his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. What a pathway to me to live. To have the life of God in my soul, to have his presence with me, to know his love in my heart. Oh, the depth that God calls his dear church to walk in, that she might have fellowship with him. We have to come apart from this world. We have to be separated from it. We have to walk alone, husband apart, wife apart, children apart. It is the path that God has ordained for his dear people. It is not our loved one's religion. It's to me. And oh, to live spiritually, how solemn we are as poor fallen creatures. We don't live unless we're in the furnace. I mean, we don't pray. We don't wrestle with God. We don't cry to him. We don't plead with him. Oh, when he gives some solemn thorn in the flesh. Poor nature. And the Apostle Paul had a poor nature. He was a fallen man, but poor nature would be rid of him. But not so the Lord. Why, when he asked to be rid of it 3 times, the Lord gave him that promise. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And when the Lord spoke that into his soul with divine power, it had a gracious effect. Blessed effect. No longer did he wrestle with his God against his will, God's will. Most gladly, therefore. What a change. The life of God was in his soul. He was as clay in the hands of heavenly potter. The man was humble. He took up his cross. He bowed beneath it. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ, ah, that's life, the power of Christ, may rest upon me. To know him, whom to know is life eternal. I say again, we have to go into deep water. It is in the valley of the shadow of death that his dear people come to that sacred place. I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Oh, when we're cut off from all here below and face eternity and are separated from the things of time and sense, to know this life of God in our soul, I am with thee. I am with thee. Israel passing through the fire, The Lord knows the path of his dear people. He's walked it himself. For to me, to live is Christ. And I will come now to the words of the apostle here in this epistle, fellowship with him in his suffering. It is a path that he calls his dear children to walk in, that they might catch a glimpse of what he suffered for them. Rutherford speaks of the path when he says deep waters cross life's pathway, and they do. But oh, in those deep waters, for Christ to come and draw near and favour his dear people with a sweet glimpse of the pathway he walked. We do at best, says the hymn writer, but taste the cup. But he alone has drunk it up. But here is fellowship with him. Sacred fellowship. Momentary glimpses of his sufferings and his sorrow. Think of that hymn, endless blessings, very sweet to me in bereavement. Endless blessings on the Lamb, broken heart. Repeat the same. His dear heart was broken too when he bore the curse for you. Your dread crimes once pierced his heart, sank his soul in fearful smart, but his sin atoning blood now procures your peace with God. And when the Lord calls his dear people to walk in the deep waters of life's pathway, oh, the wonder of knowing his presence and that peace in the midst of our sorrows. It is a deep mystery. But the Lord said when he left his dear disciples, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. In the world ye shall have tribulation. There they lie together, the peace of God and the tribulation of his dear people. And it's, as we said at the beginning, to me, to my poor soul, it's teaching in my heart, for my benefit, for my blessing, for my communion with him, to me, to live. Do his dear people live in the valley of the shadow of death? I believe they do. Why, the very evidence of the work of grace in their heart is that in such deep waters they cry to their God. They wrestle with him. But we will go to another aspect of this, and that is the fountain of his precious blood. What do we know of it? I do ask you here tonight, what do you know of it? I can hear some of you saying, nothing. I remember doing that myself once, listening to one of God's servants preaching. I left the sanctuary of God that night and I said, Lord, I know nothing of what he's preaching about. My heart was sad. I hadn't left the chapel steps long when that hymn came with such power, every grace and every favour comes to us through Jesus' blood. I say to you, some of you young ones, have you got one answer to prayer? Is that all you've got? Learn this. Every grace and every favour comes to us through Jesus' blood. We can
receive nothing. The work of grace in our hearts comes to us through Jesus' blood. The Holy Spirit goes forth. The benefits of the cross of Calvary are to be made known in the hearts of the election of praise, and to be known with almighty power, and they're only known through his death upon Calvary's cross. Oh, he will lead his dear people onward. It was through the blessings and benefits of Calvary's cross that Bunyan's pilgrim, and Bunyan himself, he was speaking of himself, fled from the city of destruction. Holy Spirit came forth to bring him out of the world, out of nature's darkness, and to bring him to the cross of Calvary. It was the work of the Holy Spirit to convince and to convict of sin. Oh, I do say to you tonight, some of you who may well say, I know nothing of the blood of Christ, as the Lord began to convince you of your sin. Has he brought you down? Has he faced you with eternity? Has he raised that question in your heart? How shall I stand in that great day? What hope have I? What has the Lord done in your heart? Has he brought you into a sudden exercise of soul? Perhaps there were many years when you walked in the chapels in and out and sat under the ministry and it had no effect on you at all. And then one day, something came with power into your soul, awakened you. I often think, you know, that I feel it to be very true that we may be blessed under the preaching of the Word of God by a realization that we know nothing of what the minister is preaching about. Oh, what a blessed mercy if you're brought there and you long for the Lord to lead you into the blessedness of the gospel. You feel death in your heart. What does that tell us? That tells me when a poor sinner feels death in his soul and darkness and carnality and worldly mindedness and is convinced of his sins, that there's life there. Not to him. He feels his hopelessness. He comes face to face with God's sovereign grace. He knows that only the extension of God's mercy to his soul can ever save him. And he stands there waiting, as it were, at the bar of God's judgment, for that scepter of mercy to be extended to him. He stands there to hear the voice of Christ speaking into his soul, "Thy sins, which are many, are all forgiven thee." He stands there waiting for the application of this precious blood to his heart and his conscience. We spoke of it in the Sabbath school here this afternoon. Oh, to know that blessed way of salvation through Jesus Christ. To know his love and his blood upon our hearts. To know that blessed truth of the atonement, reconciliation between our souls and our God through the eternal Son of God's sacrifice on Calvary's cross. Redemption, to be delivered from the bondage and slavery of sin and to be set free in this precious truth that lies here. Then, and then alone, can we come in with the Apostle Paul to me to live? Life of God in my soul is the knowledge of Christ in my heart, revealing himself to me as my God and my Saviour. dear Anne Steele, exercised heart and soul that she was, she penned that beautiful verse which has been a great comfort to many of God's dear children. My God, my Father, blissful name, oh, may I call thee mine. May I with sweet assurance claim a portion so divine. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. Why? Because it is to be with him. We shall only be with one in heaven above, whom we have known in our hearts and souls here below. To have known his voice, to have known his mercy, to have known his faithfulness, to have known him as the great high priest of his dear people, our intercessor and advocate. When the Church of Christ in the realms of glory worship him and sing the anthem that is revealed in the book of the Revelation, it is this: unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins. Where do you stand? Oh, ask yourself tonight, have I hope I could sing that anthem in glory? Have I known his love? Have I known his precious blood in my heart? It is not once. It will be again and again in life's pathway to know his love and blood. We shall need it with freshly contracted guilt constantly. Oh, to enter into that hymn in our book daily. I repent of sin, daily wash in Calvary's blood. For to me, oh, where do you stand tonight? What do you know of him? What has been your experience? What has he revealed to himself of you? Do my words search you? Do you feel to know so little? I do ask you, do you know anything? Hymn writer said, a crumb of mercy, Lord, I crave, unworthy to be fed. But have you a desire? Blessed are they, said Christ, when here on earth, that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. The Lord said when here, seek and ye shall find. He said, ask and it shall be given you. Oh, have you asked? Have you sought? Have you wrestled with him? The acid test is this. Was your prayer a prayer of importunity? Scripture speaks of it. Man who went to his friend midnight for a loaf of bread, he refused to rise and give him, but because of his importunity. Jacob at Peniel, I'll not let thee go except thou bless me. Wrestling prayer, says the dear hymn writer, can wonders do, bring relief in deepest straits. Prayer can force a barrier to iron bars and brazen gates. Then it is to know him, answering your prayer. Then it is that he draws near and speaks in your soul. Then you know what the life of God is. And it is again and again in the journey that the Lord brings his dear people to these solemn places, yet sacred places, where they have union and communion with him, where they have a little sweet understanding that he has loved them with an everlasting love, and therefore with loving kindness has he drawn them to me. To live is Christ. Christ formed in our hearts the hope of glory. Formed in our hearts in the solemn powers of tribulation, where we have communed with him and known the life of God in our soul, known his presence. It is not, says the apostle, as though I were already perfect, but I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And one aspect of truth lies here, God's faithfulness. Oh, how there are so many times in our life when there is death in our souls. We mourn an absent God. We know why. Because of our sin and our worldly mindedness, our carnality, we follow him at a distance like Peter did to the judgment hall. We fall. We know darkness. But the Lord is faithful. And all his dear people prove as they wrestle with him that he comes again in rich mercy. And he speaks into their hearts as he did when here on earth, thy sins, which are many, are all forgiven thee. Oh then, a living soul, a mourner, over sin and after him, yet sweetly blessed at the mercy seat, then there is praise. There is indeed blessed praise to God. Then there is sweet assurance. Then there is a knowledge of the peace of God which passes all understanding. And then the heart can confess to me, I only live spiritually in the sweetness of it as I walk in communion with him. When he draws near to me, when he touches my heart, he applies his precious blood to my soul, when he gives me that peace of God which passes all understanding, when he strengthens me with all might in the inner man, when he grants me those exceeding great and precious promises, he touches my heart with his love, to me, to live is Christ. There is none other in the world worth having. Everything else can be left. I could, says the soul, from all things parted be, but never, never, Lord, from thee. Oh, when the Lord works, it is to winnow his dear people from the things of time and sense. His dealings with them are to separate them from this carnal world and all its attractions. Happiness, thou lovely name, where's thy seat? Oh, tell me where. Honour, learning, wealth and fame all cry out, it is not here, it is in Christ. Oh, the words of the Lord were these, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Oh, when the Lord is first in your life, when you have no other help but him, when you have no other refuge, when you have nowhere else to flee, my hope, my only hope's in thee. Oh, what a blessed field of teaching that is, that we be separated. Ask yourself, search your heart tonight, do you know this path? Has the Lord so wrought in your life, burnt all things up, They mean nothing to you. And you say, Thou, O Christ, art all I want. All in all in Thee I find. The Lord has weaned you. He separated you. The things that once drew your attention and were an attraction to you and you desired have lost their meaning for you. It is quite meaningless now. There are other things that have drawn your love and affection. Christ has become the centre of your life. What a glorious mercy that is. It is to me when preaching and travelling, I see as I watch changes taking place. I see worldly-mindedness, hardness. I can detect there's a change. There's a softening influence. The Lord has come. And now there's love in the heart. There's the work of God in the soul begun. There's a separation from this world. And there's a following the Lord. And we would go on. There's a coming to his table. Have you ever considered it? To live is Christ. To follow him. He said, follow thou me. Oh, if we are to be brought into the sweetness of this word, it will be to follow him through the humble waters of baptism. And to come to his table in the fulfillment of his commandments, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Why? To me to live is Christ, to obey him, to suffer with him, to be despised with him. He was despised, rejected of men. Oh, we shall be despised if we live with Christ, if he lives in our hearts. The world will know it. They will see it. They will hate us. We read in Scripture that it was very blessed to me some years ago. They hated him without a cause. I felt to be in the same path in the world, hated. Without a cause. But there is fellowship with him. Blessed fellowship. With him in his suffering. But you know. There are so many paths of fellowship with the eternal Son of God. Sometimes it's pain. Great pain. How many have been called to walk through great suffering and sorrow. All in the divine purpose of God. That there might be a fellowship with him, and that there might be eventually in the sweet experience of it to me to live is Christ, a sweet knowledge of him in my own pathway, fellowship and communion with him, an opening up unto my soul of his sorrows and his suffering, and to die is gain. You know, other things lie here. The gain of God's dear people in death is to be, as we read in the Scriptures here, no more suffering, no more sorrow, no more temptation, no more darkness, no more unbelief. To be separated from all those bitter sorrows in our fallen nature. It is not just that his dear people long for heaven. It is that they long, as this dear apostle did, to leave the things of time behind him. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Oh, how he could see the blessedness of this truth. as he wrote to these dear Philippians from his prison in Rome, facing as he did the possibility that the emperor would have him, the Roman emperor would have him executed. To me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Finally, one aspect of truth here, and that's this: assurance. Oh, the sweet assurance that lies in these words. He said later in a letter to Timothy, I'm now ready to depart, to be with Christ, which is far better. Oh, the blessed assurance he had. I know, he said, in whom I have believed and am persuaded, that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. You may be far this evening from having an assurance that it will be well when called to die. You may be longing for the Lord to give you that evidence and those tokens in your heart, and to come where the apostle came, to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But oh, I say to you, press toward the mark. The apostle had not apprehended that for which he was apprehended of God. Have you been apprehended of God? Has he halted you? Has he stopped you? Has he brought you to your knees? Have you felt his love in your soul? And you want the seeding of the Spirit in your heart? You want the Lord to come and grant you sweet evidences that you may enter the assurance of this precious word. For to me, to live is Christ, in the experience of it, to know him, whom to know is life eternal. How far have you gone? How far have you come? How far has the Lord led you? Some may be at the very beginning of the way, and some are drawing near the end of the journey. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none on earth I desire beside thee. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day amounted to £830, for which we are very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Broome is again expected to preach tomorrow at our anniversary services at 3 o'clock and 6:15. Tea will be provided and a collection taken for the Needy Cases Fund. And Mr. Broome is also expected to preach next Lord's Day and address the Sunday School. And there will be a church meeting on Friday, the 15th of May. Hymn 827. Suffering Saviour, Lamb of God, how hast thou been used with the Almighty's wrathful rod, soul and body bruised. 827. Thank you.
And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit, abide with you each. Amen.